I'm Tommy Gimler. New York Knicks owner James Dolan basically told a Knicks fan to go fuck himself in an email last week. Was he out of line, or is this the best thing the Knicks have done all year?
I'm Andy Ostroff, and the Syracuse men's basketball team conveniently placed a postseason ban on themselves in the wake of alleged academic misconduct over the last 10 years. We're apparently going to talk about that.
And I'm Tishon Phillips, and with Valentine's Day coming up, ladies, maybe a little treble wouldn't hurt.
The Daily Updecker, nothing but sports and crap.
All right, guys, welcome back.
Hello.
Big Valentine's Day plans, Astra?
I'm going to eat chocolate.
As a single guy, what do you do as a single guy on Valentine's Day?
You work to try so none of these girls expect you to get them anything.
So you're going to be working at the Improv on Valentine's Day?
Yeah, I'll be working there.
Do you think you can pick something up?
Yeah, I think I'll be all right.
Okay. So you think that they'll be – well, that's a good thing about when you work at a comedy club is that you as an audience member, you just listen to these comics talk about how pathetic their lives are, that like all of a sudden it's like, you know what? The waiter doesn't seem so bad after all. You know, it should be an easy score for you.
I just want to go out with the girls and laugh.
Sure. Hey, we have a very special guest.
Yes,
Barry Murphy
do.
Couldn't be here this week, so we brought in Aaron Lewis.
Hey.
Welcome, Aaron. Yes. How you doing?
Not to be confused with the Aaron Lewis from the rock band Stained.
Do you get confused between him?
One time when I was in Atlantic City, they gave me his hotel room. That is no lie.
All right, so tell me this story. You go right. in, you say, hi, I'm Aaron Lewis.
I'm Aaron Lewis. I had a comp there at Caesar's Palace in Atlantic City, and I walk in, and they say, Mr. Lewis, your suite is right. Suite? Huh, okay. So I'm with a couple friends, and we go up there, and gigantic suite, penthouse suite.
Uh-huh.
Like, it has, TVs coming up from the bedstand, and it's got, a steam room in the shower, all that stuff, wraparound couch, everything.
Pre-wrapped cum rags. It's like, don't use the towels, use these.
Yeah. and we're all just enjoying the whole scene, and we get settled in, we go downstairs into the lobby and start walking through the lobby into the casino, and I start seeing posters. Aaron Lewis performing live this Thursday. This was a Wednesday that I was there. I'm like, oh my God, they think I'm that Aaron Lewis.
So did they finally kick you out?
No, I was only there for one night. In there and I was having a blast and made the most of it. And, thank you, Aaron Lewis from Stain.
Are you Aaron Lewis?
Semi-popular.
Are you Aaron Lewis from Stain? No, I'm Aaron Lewis with the severe gambling problem.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, we'll give you the penthouse anyway because I'm sure you'll learn it. All right, you ready for this, man? It's good to have you on board.
Let's rock.
Oh, no, wait. But so speaking of let's rock, do you have like an Aaron Lewis impression? Can you sing really, really shittily for us?
I'm on the outside, I'm looking in.
That's such a terrible song. It really is.
It's a bad rendition of a terrible song.
Are you going to be the Fred Durst for that? I need a Fred Durst to
hold my head up high.
I can feel those ladders.
It's been a while.
That's all he did. That's all he did in that song was like, yeah, I'm feeling those ladders.
Well, he produced their album. He was their producer, so he could do whatever he wanted. I saw Fred Durst the other day. He apparently doesn't tip. He didn't tip.
Did he have a backwards
at the improv.
Baseball
did he
cap?
Fuck up your, did he fuck up your latte?
Did he still wear backwards baseball cap?
Yeah, he wore that red hat.
Yeah.
That's all. Well, yeah, Durst, in that song, that was the craziest thing about Fred Durst, is that when they marketed that, because it was on like the Live Warped Tour album or whatever tour that was, and it was like Aaron Lewis from Stain featuring Fred Durst, and all Fred Durst said in that song was, I'm feeling those lighters.
Well, I think he would chime in on the chorus.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, well, it became a duet.
Well, he was feeling those lighters, so.
Well, either way, I'm super stoked to have you, Aaron Lewis, with a severe gambling problem here instead of the Aaron Lewis from Stain.
Let's throw some money on the table and go.
We're going to do it all for
gentlemen,
the
gentlemen, it's time for the hot mess.
The hot mess.
Hot mess topic number one, Syracuse men's basketball sanctions. I'm so glad we actually have a Syracuse alum here in Tishon Phillips.
Oh, yeah.
I'm still proud.
Did you get that letter? You got that letter in the morning?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah.
Man, that was quite the eloquence there from the chancellor.
I thought it was a classy move to send a letter to their alumni about the
first
allegations.
How soon before it hit ESPN and Deadspin did you get that letter? Was it like 5 minutes before or like 2 hours before?
No, it came the next day.
Oh, after it was already on the news?
They busted out the news and then we got the
Oh, really? I thought it was a preemptive strike.
All right, so what's your take on the sanctions? Because I'll give you my take on it, but Tishon, why don't you tell us as a Syracuse alum what you think of the sanctions?
Well, I mean, I don't know. It's just, it's like, it feels like it's so long ago. It feels kind of lame in some ways, and it is. It is very preemptive. And, you know, the team is not as good. I mean, it is a it's sort of a calculated move. I think there's no disguising that. You know, and that's all right. I do feel bad for someone like Rakeem Christmas.
Oh yeah, Christmas, senior.
Who is a top player in the ACC, if not the country, and he's a guy that was just like, you know, just like a big goon most of his time at Syracuse, and he's a 4-year guy, and he's really sharpened his game, and he's become kind of a badass big man, and so I feel bad for the likes of him because. You know, that's the team's just not going to be getting the showcase showdown of.
But I actually expected more from you. I could have asked a Rutgers graduate what he would have thought of the Syracuse sanctions. Yeah, and he would have given me the same answer.
It happens at every school.
What happened at GW with the fucking dudes like stealing the cell phones and shit? And, like I think some guy like sodomized some lady with a broomstick.
Yeah, the broomstick, the Attila Cosby incident.
Oh yeah, he beat her with a sock full of pennies.
Where was this?
At GW, man, because we had Tom Penders when we went.
That's a rich school too. You got money to go there.
Yeah,
well, you have to have some pennies apparently.
Because Tom Penders would only recruit you if you had a criminal record.
Well,
you're such a shit. Right.
In that conference, you have to.
In the A-10?
Yeah.
A-10, man. Tough powerful, conference. Powerful mid-major.
I think Frank Kaminsky's going to school at Wisconsin. I think a lot of the guys at Wisconsin are going to school.
He's a good old country boy.
Bullshit. The guys at Wisconsin are going to school. Plus, everyone on the football team drives a fucking Vespa around. Like, those guys don't go to class. Dude, my buddy went to, what was that? The guy from UMass, like Monty Mack. Didn't he steal, like $30,000 in DVDs from a Best Buy? Like, how does that happen? He was walking out with shopping carts. Like, these guys, they don't respect anything. Like, they get everything they want for their whole life. So, what the fuck are they going to class for?
Let's also talk about how weird it is, the self-discipline that you have to undergo in the NCAA. Like, oh, if I punish myself, then the NCAA will go lenient on me. That's a really weird system.
Right.
That's like Adrian Peterson's son whipping himself in the balls. It's like, no, Dad, you don't need to do it. I've already taken care of that. Don't worry.
I had the GoPro up.
It's dumb, but here's also the sad part, too. Like, Syracuse, they're praying that they don't have to have sanctions next year because they have the top 4 recruiting class in the country coming in next year. I mean, they got 5-star recruits. Yeah, Jay, that's right.
I agree. I mean, I think that what will probably happen is they'll probably lose some scholarships, I think, in years to come. I think they'll still go gently on them.
Jason Capono's not walking through that door.
If they were like Wisconsin 22-2 or like Kentucky 21-0, whatever, would they have put sanctions on themselves this year?
No way.
Yeah, exactly. That's my point. Like, all this is like, you know, you've been cheating on your wife for a couple of years now, and somehow she just found out. Like, you know,
I don't think Boeheim,
she finally started
Boeheim
checking your Facebook
account.
Didn't want
to put sanctions on himself. He was very much against it. I think it was just like,
but this is the school, right? So, like, let's say you've been cheating on your wife for a couple of years. You come home, she's already got all of her stuff packed, or she's already got all of your stuff outside of the condo. You come inside, and she puts a gun in your mouth, and then you finally just say, like, okay, I was cheating on you. But you wait till like the last possible second.
Okay.
Like, if they like in years past, Syracuse actually had a good enough team, and these sanctions go all the way back, or like the sanctions are for things that happened all the way back in like 2007, right?
Yeah.
So they say. That's still not even really defined.
Why wouldn't you have put sanctions on yourself if you really wanted to police yourself? Why wouldn't you have put sanctions on yourself like 2 years ago?
The hot mess.
Speaking of somebody who should be suspended, have you guys seen this Gleep from Iowa, the 7'1" inch, what's it, Adam Woodbury?
Yeah.
So the deal is, if you don't know who Adam Woodbury is, he's the guy who keeps poking other players
in
the
eye.
Now, keep in mind, for 100 and some years in college hoops now, it hasn't been an issue. So all of a sudden, this fucking guy can't stop poking opposing players in the eye. And we were talking about the press conference where the coach refuses to acknowledge
Fran
it. So Fran McCaffrey, you know, they ask him, they're like, hey, you know, do you think something's going on there? This is the third time he spoke someone in the eye. And he's like, next question. Somebody asked an intelligent question. And then when they asked him, like, why was that not an intelligent question? He said, because I said so. So you kind of see where, like, this asshole-ish behavior from Woodbury on the court is coming from. It's coming straight from the coach, who's just an ass clown.
And the coach, if it, that's like PR 101, like, you address the topic straight up. If you don't think that he did it, just say, I think it was just this silly coincidence. And then you say it, everybody moves on. They don't even have a follow-up question.
Dude,
there.
If you type in Adam Wu into Google, it comes up. It just says Adam Woodbury eye poke.
Right away.
The whole thing comes up. Here's the thing about Adam Woodbury, right? Like, he's got this Cro-Magnon man-like forehead that actually helps protect his eyes from opposing players, you know, hitting him in the eye. So I don't know if you've seen him give an interview like that, but he does.
Well, that was my – so my point is he doing this on purpose, or is he really just a Cro-Magnon ass clown that – you know, makes a mess when he makes a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. Like, he can't even get through that without.
He's done it three times. He's probably a klutz. He probably has finger. He probably can't control his body.
I don't think
he's
a klutz, though.
Yeah, I think it's on purpose. But here's what I think they should do. I mean, like, the coaches, they all know each other in the conference. I think the conference should suspend him. And if the conference doesn't fucking suspend him, I think the coaches should get on their coach listserv and be like, hey, what are we going to do about this asshole? And they'll be like, yeah, let's punch him in the dick till he gets suspended. So I think every game they should just put a walk-on in and just be like, yeah, go in there, punch that guy in the dick.
John
we'll protect
Chaney
him.
Tugs.
Yeah, that's, seriously, they should just punch him in the dick until he stops poking people in the eyes.
But you go after my eyes, I'll go after your one eye. I get it, dude. It's good.
The hot mess.
All right, moving on to someone else who's not going to get suspended, apparently. James Dolan. You guys read this email? The owner of the Knicks?
Yeah.
This email is outstanding. So what happened is, you know, the Knicks are just pure garbage this year, obviously.
Terrible.
You don't even have to be a basketball fan to know that. I mean, that's just like a presumption you can make going into any NBA season is the Knicks are garbage, right? Aren't they? And people are like,
comedy.
Yeah. Yeah, you know that. So one dude who
it
said
be even worse when they see Carmelo after the All-Star game.
One dude who's a Knicks fan sent this email to owner James Dolan with the subject line, I have been a Knicks fan since 1952. At one stage, I thought that you did a wonderful thing when you acquired everything from your dad. However, since then, it has been all downhill. You're working with Isaiah Thomas and everything else regarding the Knicks. Bringing on Phil Jackson was a positive beginning, but lowballing Steve Kerr was a disgrace, all caps. To the Knicks, lowercase k. The bottom line is that you merely continue to interfere with the franchise. As a Knicks fan for in excess of 60 years, I am utterly embarrassed by your dealings with the Knicks. Sell them so your fans can at least look forward to growing them in a positive direction. Obviously, money is not the only thing. You have done a lot of utterly stupid business things with this franchise. Please, no more. Respectfully, in parentheses, in marks, Aaron Bierman's dad. So then,
did he actually write that? I was confused by that. He wrote Aaron Bierman's dad?
But I didn't know if, like, on Deadspin, like, Aaron Bierman or whatever his name is, Aaron Bierman got a hold of Deadspin and said, hey, look at the email that my dad, and he didn't give his dad's name.
Yeah.
For starters, he's been a Knicks fan for over 60 years, and he knows how
for
to
starters,
use email. That's it. That's
for
impressive.
Starters, he's not wrong.
Right.
Okay. Let's get that out of the way right now. Dude is right.
And before you even go into Dolan's response, I don't think Dolan's wrong either. I don't think anyone here.
Dolan's
is wrong.
He's like, and I think you're an alcoholic.
Yeah, so here's Dolan's response. Mr. Bierman, you are a sad person. Why would anybody write such a hateful letter? I am just guessing, but I'll bet your life is a mess and you are a hateful mess. What have you done that anyone would consider positive or nice? I am betting nothing. In fact, I'll bet you are a negative force in everyone who comes in contact with you. You most likely have made your family miserable. Alcoholic, maybe. I just celebrated my 21-year anniversary of sobriety. You should try it. Maybe it will help you become a person that folks would like to have around. In the meanwhile, start rooting for the Nets because the Knicks don't want you. Respectfully, James Dolan. That, I mean, like you said, I think that's why he's not... Well, he hasn't been punished. Someone
no,
gave you a piece of hate mail.
Bad.
You did the Nickelback thing and gave it right back.
But
saying,
here's the thing
yourself.
I'm questioning. Oh, no. How much hate mail must this guy get?
I know,
and why did he reply to this one? And why were they like, oh, yeah, this one's going to go to... You know, does he reply to all of them? Should we send him a hate mail from the podcast?
Was this the straw that broke his back? Like, he's just reading through all of this vicious hate mail,
does
and
he
finally
have,
he gets
and
to
it
this
was,
one.
It was a Friday night. It was a Friday night at 8:15, too.
Does he have a hate mail
so
filter and this
sobriety.
One just, like, slipped through? Speaking of alcohol, I think I might just do the transition here right now, Tommy, because it's so good.
You want to go to Chipper Jones?
I think we should go to number five.
Right away to Chipper
yeah,
Jones?
Man.
All right, moving on in the hot mess.
This is fucking ridiculous.
Chipper Jones, ladies and gentlemen, is apparently a Sandy Hook truther. So if you missed it, Friday night, what I assume had happened is that Chipper was out having a few beers with somebody, you know, a couple of cocktails.
A few beers,
and
some
somebody
Molly.
Somebody mentioned the fact, this is fact, that the FBI released like their murder tallies, and they released them by city for 2012, and under Newtown, Connecticut, it's listed as zero murders, which would totally, you know, probably be normal if it wasn't for the Sandy Hook school shootings in 2012, where 26 people lost their lives, including a bunch of school children. So what truthers are saying now is that because the FBI put zero there, the only plausible explanation for them putting a zero there is that Sandy Hook was a hoax and that the FBI covered it up. So what Chipper Jones did is he jumped on Twitter and he said, it's fact, the FBI pretty much came out today and said that Sandy Hook was a hoax. What's next? JFK, Waco, blah, blah, blah. And then he quickly deleted it, but they have so many followers. He has so many followers, right, that someone took a screenshot and then sent it to Deadspin, sent it to ESPN, all that stuff. So then he just pretended like nothing happened. And then the next day, someone with like an entire brain got a hold of him and said, hey, you should probably apologize.
It was a parent of one of the kids who was killed, actually, said, come on
No,
over.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, so it was.
That was the
parent of one of the teachers.
The daughter of one of the teachers. Yeah.
That was a great tweet by her, man. Fuck that guy. Yeah.
So, I mean, if this isn't the actual, like, just the best example ever of why athletes, either current or former, shouldn't be on Twitter.
Oh, yeah.
This is it.
Twitter's the worst thing to ever happen to athletes.
I disagree. They just have to stay away from stupid stuff like Sandy Hook. Like, talk about, you know, all your practice or talk about, you know, your swing coach.
Yeah, well, here and there, but it's
or
like,
what
yeah,
your
but,
real name is. I still don't know this guy's real
Larry.
Name.
Larry.
I enjoy learning.
Is it Larry Jones?
Larry Jones, and now you know why he calls himself Chipper.
I enjoy learning that. Stuff about athletes, but I don't really care to hear about your opinion on Sandy Hook.
Well,
so
listen, here's what you have to do as a retired baseball player, retired athlete. You have to, A, show up to card signings on time and as sober as possible.
He's not on the air.
And then, two, you don't say anything stupid. And like I also wrote in the article, I said, and if you can find time to sleep with your own wife, you know, from time to time, yeah, that'd be great as well. But otherwise, just don't say anything stupid and show up to your card signings on time.
And guest star Jones, it's always Sunny in Philadelphia. That was pretty awesome.
Now, if he was an active player, nothing would ever happen. He'd get slapped on the wrist. But if he ever criticized the umps on Twitter, he's getting a fine.
But not
talk about Sandy Hook, truth all you want.
But all you have to do is you have to remember, like, you are still an ambassador for the Braves. Like, once a year, they're going to trot your fat ass out to the pitcher's mound, and they're going to say, hey, smile, wave your hat, smile, give a nice little wave to the crowd, and they're going to applaud, and they're going to cheer because you are former Braves legend or former Braves third baseman Chipper Jones.
Larry Jones.
Not, they're not going to cheer because you're Sandy Hook truther Chipper Jones, right?
Yeah, that was gonna be that's not gonna be at Turner Field. That's gonna be in a fucking like auditorium somewhere in front of 12 fucking weirdos.
And let's not forget that Chipper Jones was a teammate at John Rocker's for a while. Why haven't we seen any interactions between Chipper Jones and John Rocker? I would pay, I don't know, $20 right now.
Can you imagine
to see a 10-minute dialogue?
What is John Rocker
two?
Up to? Wasn't he just in the news recently doing stuff?
Yeah, he's on Survivor.
Yeah.
He got kicked off. Imagine that, and they couldn't get along with anybody. But can you imagine, like, what that program from, like, the 1995 Braves would look like, you know, if they're celebrating it, well, I suppose it'd be 20 years later this year. Wow. And they go through, like, the program, and they're like, Chipper Jones hit the second most home runs for a switch hitter of all time, finished with a lifetime 290 average. Doesn't believe Sandy Hook took place.
is this gonna hurt him come Hall of Fame voting time?
I think by the time, because he's not on the ballot till 2018. Yeah. So I think he's good, but he just needs to knock it off.
The hot mess.
The last time Tiger Woods won a major was 2008, and in the last tournament here, I think it was the Farmers Insurance Open, right? He withdrew for the third time over his last eight events, right? So it got me thinking over the weekend. I was like, God, when is the next time, you know, that he's going to win a major? Is he ever going to win a major? And then I started having fun, and I was like, what's going to happen first? And that's a little game I want to play real quick, all right?
All right.
We'll start with you, Aaron. What is going to happen first? Tiger Woods wins a major, or the Los Angeles Lakers win another championship?
The Lakers will eventually, sometime down the road, win a championship.
So now you have to determine what's going to happen first. The Lakers win that championship or Tiger Woods wins a major.
Well, you're asking me if I think Tiger Woods is ever going to win a major again. And my answer is no.
So you're going to say the Lakers.
Not ever. Really?
Rob Gronkowski is going to enter the seminary before Tiger Woods wins a major. Okay?
That's what we're looking for.
I honestly think the Lakers will win a championship within 4 years. Watch. Sure. They're doing the biggest crash job ever. They're going to get good draft picks. Then Kobe's going to free up all this space. Then all
they're
going to
have Kevin Love, and they're going to yeah. Gonna
Kobe's going to have mutant bionic knees inserted, and he'll go off and score 30 points a game again.
All right, Andy Ostrom, what will happen first? Tiger Woods wins a major, or Leo DiCaprio gets married?
Ooh.
The womanizer.
I want Tiger Woods to win another major. I really do.
Why? What is the reasoning behind Tiger Woods?
Ratings. I don't know. Fuck it. It's fun when he wins. I mean, golf's more
fun.
You
haven't been able to sit on your ass on a Sunday afternoon and watch golf on NBC or
CBS. I can't watch unless Tiger's in the finals.
It's just me. I'm sitting on my
couch. I just want to see Tiger with that red shirt on Sunday, man.
I'm just sitting on the couch in my red shirt. I don't see anybody else out there wearing a red shirt.
I'm Tiger Woodsing to remember, sir.
I knocked out my tooth just like Tiger.
I bought this red shirt in 2009, and I haven't been able to wear it with him on Sunday.
Fuck every waitress from Caro's, dude.
I like IHOP. I got a red shirt. I want to see him win.
I wear my red shirt to Tiger Woods. All day long. What was the question?
Leo DiCaprio gets married or Tiger Woods wins a major?
How old's Leo DiCaprio? He's in his 40s, right?
Is Leo DiCaprio in his 40s? Yeah. T-Shawn?
He might be just 40, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I think he's 39 forever, or 40.
Man. He's got a young face. He was on Growing Pains.
Have you seen his beard lately?
No.
Out of control.
Really?
That's for a role.
Maybe not.
All right, first time. Leo DiCaprio gets married. Tiger Woods.
I'm going to say Tiger.
Okay.
I don't think Leo's getting married until he's 60.
T'Shawn Phillips, one for you as well. Tiger Woods wins a major, or Johnny Manziel starts a postseason game. Starts a postseason game.
Wow. Well, the if it's for the Browns, that looks like quite the long shot at this point. You know, I'm in the Woods camp as well. As far as winning, as far as being drawn to the sport, because you know, the man is such a magnetic presence.
In that red shirt.
But it looks bad, man. I mean, he looks shitty. He's a different brand of TV if you watch golf now. That's like watching us out there, because that's...
You think Fuzzy Zeller's just watching with, like, a big cigar lit up, like, yeah, all right. I knew it. I knew that would happen.
Yeah. Fuck, Johnny Manziel. Come on, man. That guy's a goofball, too. But I'm going with Johnny. It's hard to see.
Playoff game.
Yeah, a playoff game. I mean, so we're that not means saying a championship. We're not saying
for
anything.
For the Browns?
No, it's just a postseason
game. Anybody.
Yeah,
inevitably ends up with the Cowboys.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, like, so, you know, Jack Nicklaus won a final major at 46, so Woods ultimately still might have it. He'll have to figure out a lot of shit with his game. But now we'll go with Johnny Manziel in this comparison.
Wow. So that means basically what we're saying is, you know, that two-thirds of us believe that Tiger Woods is never going to win another major. That's basically what that statement is. Boom. Yeah.
Tiger Woods ain't winning.
All right, one more here in the hot mess, ladies and gentlemen. A grown man in the Bahamas was caught wearing a Vince Wilfork. Is that how you say it, right?
Wilfork.
Wilfork?
Yeah.
Wilfork.
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 It's like Will.
Wilfork.
Fork, yeah.
Okay.
Doesn't spell it like that, though.
W-I-L fork.
It is. W-I-L fork. All right. So a grown man in the Bahamas was caught wearing a Vince Wilfork jersey, and he was caught by Vince Wilfork and his wife.
I do like this one.
Bianca.
So and it's great. They put it up on Instagram or Vine or whatever, and they went up and they're like, "Hey man, that's a great jersey." And he turns around and looks, and he's just like, "Thanks." And his wife just points, like, "You're wearing his jersey." So here's a grown man, either in his late 30s, early 40s, wearing another grown man's jersey, and he doesn't even know what that man looks like.
It's a typical Pats fan. I mean, I just
Here's the thing about this man.
I know.
He is not from the United States. Did you hear him talk? He's not from the U.S. Watch the video again. The dude has an accent. So I'm like, I give him a pass on that. I think it's a huge win for the NFL. They reached globally, got this guy in a Vince Wilfork jersey. I mean, guys like, oh, yeah, I'm from fucking South Africa, and I'm wearing a defensive lineman's jersey.
The fact that he didn't know who he was, that doesn't bother me at all. Listen, I got my girlfriend. She wears my Teddy Bruschi jersey all the time. I make her wear it because it's become good luck. And
True.
And she has no idea who Teddy Bruschi is.
It's the only way I can get an erection at the age of 40 is if she's wearing my Teddy Bruschi jersey.
And
I
a helmet,
it.
But still.
Check back in with me when I turn 40. That may be true. But what bothers me is that he was just wearing this jersey at all. And I've thought about this, and there's really only four instances when you can wear a professional jersey if you're over the age of, let's say, 18 years old. One. When you're attending a game, you can wear the jersey.
Good.
Okay.
Two. Anytime. Two.
Let's start with number one. All right. You almost have to establish, though, that you're attending the game in which that team is playing. If you have a Patriots jersey and you're at a Dolphins Broncos game,
you're asking for a fight.
Don't be an asshole and wear your Patriots.
Oh, you know what's
worse?
Nobody
cares that you don't care about either team that's there. Just wear a shirt that says Target on it or something.
I'm going to interject real quick. You know what's worse than wearing a jersey where you don't recognize the player, speaking from a Boston fan, is if you go to Fenway Park, you're wearing your Red Sox jersey. It's the white home jersey, and it's got the player's name on the back. They don't have that shit, and it drives me crazy.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So very good. So good start.
So number two, and this applies only to NFL. You can wear anywhere on the game day that team is playing.
So you can, no matter where
like
you go.
Like a blackjack dealer in Vegas. They all got jerseys on Sundays.
Okay. That's true.
I like it. So it's good. So if they're playing that day, no matter where you are, a funeral, tattoo parlor, just whatever.
Yes. Only for the NFL. Doesn't apply to any other sports.
Okay.
Because they have too many games, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
All right. Number three, any other sport, playoff game or opening day?
Oh, I like it.
Any place that you want, but your team has to be playing in a playoff game that day or it's opening day.
Or at the stadium. You can wear it at the stadium.
Yeah, well, I'm saying if you're if you're attending the game,
when can I wear my red Tiger Woods shirt?
You'll never be able to ever again.
Damn it!
And fourth, if your kid plays for a professional sports team, you can wear your kid's jersey anytime you want.
True.
Anytime you want.
I hung out with Dane Fletcher's parents once at the Patriots Chargers game, and
I have no idea who Dane Fletcher is.
Dane Fletcher, man, what was it? University of Wyoming. Made the Patriots. Now I think he's making money.
He sounds like in high
else.
School he had a maximum GPA of 2.4.
I don't care, man. He fucking.
And ladies and gentlemen, your valedictorian,
undrafted
Dane
free
Fletcher.
Agent, made the Patriots. So,
if my kid becomes like a professional hockey player, I'm wearing his sweater everywhere I go, and saying, "Yeah, that's my kid,
correct.
The one who's on the third line center for the Bruins."
So, Aaron, what are the rules if you have the same name as the athlete on your jersey?
Ooh.
So this is Sean Phillips, T. Sean Phillips. So for a while, Sean Phillips played for the Broncos. So he now has Broncos Phillips jersey.
It was a difficult jersey to come by, admittedly, in his brief stint as a Bronco. But I enjoy wearing it when I can.
But
I want to know the rule.
You still have to apply it to all of the –
the four-point plan.
Four
yeah.
rules that are there.
Right.
I see.
Game
I
day
think
only.
That there's no exception there.
Can you wear a jersey?
But you get bonus points for wearing the same name as long as it follows. Under
but
these
but you know it's bonus points only that he's wearing his last name is on the back, and it's actually a real player. Like if I get a Brewers jersey and I put Gimler on the back, that's stupid. You can't do
Boo.
That. You can't do that.
But if I were to go to like a Pats game and I wore a Red Sox jersey, is that allowed?
I agree. I think that's all right.
That's all right.
Pats game, Red Sox jersey.
I could go to a fucking Red Sox game and wear a Pats jersey.
No, yeah, I can get on board.
Same
with that.
City. City is
I
okay.
could go to an Anaheim Ducks game in my Angels shit.
City. But that goes to attending a game. Attending a game, the attire that you wear a game, people paint themselves for crying out loud.
Right.
I mean,
so
there really aren't many
grown men
rules
would
for
bring
what you
baseball
can and
gloves
can't wear when you go to
baseball
a game.
See, I think that speaks to color scheme more than anything, though. Like, for instance, like. You know, with say, if you're a Knicks Islanders fan. I think those are interchangeable. It's also a similar season. True. You know, seasonality is there, so you could wear that. It's a rare fan, but nonetheless. So I think color scheme plays a role. You can't just be wearing some whack ass shit. Like,
but could I wear my Seattle Supersonics throwback jersey to the Green Bay Packers game?
No. No, absolutely not. No.
Same color scheme.
Yeah.
Same city, same color scheme.
Right.
That all goes
together. I agree.
Now, Tishon and I are two lucky people because we have common last names. So
it's been a while.
There are a lot of Phillips out there that you can get. And there are a lot of Lewis's out there that
can I wear my Aaron Lewis from Stain tank top to.
Can I get my Aaron Lewis lip ring?
We'll get you an old Ray Lewis jersey.
Can I shave my head like Aaron Lewis and put a neck tat on the back, the same one that Aaron Lewis has, and then go to a Dwight Yoakam concert? No.
Right. I'd like to meet Aaron Lewis one day. I think we get along really well.
I think he's pretty depressed.
Sing the "I only want to be with you."
No, he's rebranded.
I think that's the exact opposite. I think that's who
he's rebranded himself now. He's a country star now.
Yeah,
pretty
and
big
it's
country
so
star
is Darius Rucker from Hootie and the Blowfish.
Yeah. So now I see where Tishon was going with that. You know, let's go back to color schemes, guys, because it's going to lead us into our next segment here. All of these guys are going to be wearing orange. It's time for the pile.
The pile.
That's a segue.
Like the hamburger.
Oh, yeah, or black and white. Very good. Pile number one. Ex-Seahawk Sam Adams and his friend faced 21 counts, 12 felonies of theft and tax evasion after stiffing their employees at two Seattle fitness clubs and not paying sales tax. Who wants to defend this guy?
I will defend.
All right, Andy Ostroff, defend this asshole.
Clearly, Sam Adams got screwed by his business manager and brother-in-law, Pauly Panino, who once said Italian food cooked by a bunch of Mexicans ain't so special. This man unknowingly had signed over Sam Adams' power of attorney to an unknown accountant that squandered all the money on real estate deals that got sour and didn't pay their taxes. They thought that a few more games can fix this, but Sam Adams got brain damage when he fought a Russian, and so now he's going to have to move.
Order in the
now he's going to have to move back to his old neighborhood in Philadelphia and just save up.
At what point? At what point in the last 2 minutes did you just take like a year's worth of mushrooms?
Yeah, right. The judge was riveted by this tale of awesomeness.
I don't even know if the prosecution could just.
That's what happened.
You might just
the
rest.
Only thing I will add is that the real crime here is the people who are handing Sam Adams over money to entrust their physical fitness to him. Have you seen Sam Adams? The guy is like 350 pounds.
He's got a
here,
gym.
Take my money. I want to go work out in. The
they
same
hang
gym
sides
where
of
you
beef
go.
From the ceiling. To
that
punch.
Actually might be one of the 12 felonies that he's getting charged with.
Yeah.
All right. How do you
probably
rule on
eating
this one?
His clients.
All right. Having listened very attentively to all the rationale and points, I think that one Sam Adams. It's the name of a beer, which bodes well for him, and there was a lot of food talked about. I like food. Sam Adams is innocent.
Yes.
Yeah.
Wow.
Clearly, the plot
it's a bit
of Rocky V worked.
Here, Aaron.
At what point did the judge?
I think this is Rookie Hazen.
Shroom.
Right
this
well,
is
you
ridiculous.
Know that that's the plot of Rocky V, right? We're gonna, Pauly.
We're gonna jump forward here in the pile, gentlemen. We're jumping down to number three.
That was Hollywood.
DeQuell Jackson, ladies and gentlemen. The Indianapolis Colts linebacker was arrested for allegedly punching a Washington, D.C. pizza delivery guy and threatening to kill him during a dispute over a parking spot. Who's going to defend this clown?
I will defend DeQuell Jackson.
Oh, I can't
this
wait.
This is very obvious conspiracy drummed up by Bill Belichick of the Patriots, who was upset about Deflategate, and it's a sting operation because DeQuell would never punch a pizza boy. He loves pizza. He loves boys. Also,
I would like to bring up new charges on DeQuell Jackson.
Three Colts have been arrested since Deflategate. Josh McNary, rape, didn't do it. Andrew Jackson, DUI, please. DeQuell Jackson, pizza boy, no way. This is Bill Belichick's to blame here.
No, I don't think so. Aaron, why don't you put this guy behind bars?
DeQuell Jackson needs to go behind bars because you do not touch my pizza man. That man is serving this country the way anyone else would in his position by delivering us the finest pepperonis, mushrooms, onions, stuffed crust pizzas that you could imagine. This
was
is
was it Pizza Hut?
Yeah, do we know who he was delivering for? Because I mean, I could see that. Like, you know, he might have looked over and said, like, is that Pizza Hut? All right, I'll give him 5 minutes in my parking spot. But if it was like Domino's, it's like, man.
A threat to one pizza man is a threat to pizza men everywhere.
They need to unionize and beat this guy up.
Judge T'Shawn Phillips or
I
Prince,
mean,
I'm really,
I'd love to know more about the pizza itself. If anyone has any facts there, I feel like.
Like, did it survive? Like, I got punched.
Hey, you guys know that Domino's is not Domino's pizza anymore.
Did we
it's just
lose
Domino's
pizza. I mean,
I'd be lying if I didn't think there was anything more to this story. Like, was this a pizza with extra oregano?
You mean like the Adam Marlowe weed pizza special?
All right. Well, I say put DeQuell Jackson behind bars.
Right, because we didn't even really mention the hush money. Then, like, right away, he realized he messed up. And he was like, oh, dude, take this. He, like, started giving him all this money. And he's like, just don't let the police take me away. So good. I think you've ruled wisely there. Yeah. All right, moving on. Final one here in the pile, ladies and gentlemen.
The pile.
I don't, and I'm a Packers fan, and I don't even know how to pronounce this guy's name. It's Latroy Guyon.
Guyon.
I'm gonna go with Guyon.
Smith.
Louisiana style.
Not gonna work here anymore.
Latroy Guyon.
Sure. Green Bay Packers defensive tackle charged with felony possession of weed and felony possession of a firearm after cops pulled him over and found 357 grams of pot and more than $190,000 in cash. I know a gram isn't a lot, but 357 grams sounds like a lot.
Well,
it's just under a pound.
Are you
going
to defend your client?
I'm going to defend Latroy Guyon, who, by the way, is going to be featured in the next Key and Peele East-West Bowl.
All right.
Latroy Guyon is a victim of trumped-up charges, and here's why. First, $190,000 in cash in a car. Is that really unusual for an athlete to be riding around? Because who knows? Maybe he just dropped off his buddy Aaron Rodgers. And Aaron Rodgers I just took a dump and out came $190,000. Can I leave it here and pick it up later?
Does Latroy Guyon even make $190,000? Is that the league minimum?
I'm willing to bet that Aaron Rodgers doesn't even know who Latroy Guyon is either. All right. Second of all, 357 grams. Now, that sounds like a lot. But I have no idea what 357 grams is. Why don't they just say a pound?
Yeah, how many
ounces
is that? I mean, why do we switch to the metric system for that?
It's just under a pound. But when you say 357 grams, holy shit!
That sounds like a lot, doesn't it? Yeah.
This is an overzealous prosecutor who is trying to play this case in the media. That's exactly what this is right now.
Well, put him behind bars. This is your chance, Andy.
Okay, Latroy here had $190,000 in cash. Why? Because he doesn't believe in banks? Okay, what is that going on? He cashed his game checks and just held them all till the end of the season and just fucking went in? No, dude's obviously selling drugs. Okay, obviously, he's got a pound of weed, 357 grams exactly, because that will get him another $190,000 in cash. I don't know, but
you're not going to get
judge,
that far with
judge,
a pound
rule
of weed,
on this.
Right?
Rule on
not
this
that
madness.
I know
we've got to get
things.
Going.
Hey, look, yeah. man. Just yeah, because it's boring in Wisconsin doesn't mean you can sell weed.
I still feel like we haven't been saying his name correctly. I think it's got more of a...
And that itself is a travesty.
A Cajun twang.
Like Latroy Guyon?
Latroy Guyon.
Latroy Guyon.
His last name ain't Bon Tonte Roulette. Give me my firearm and my pound of marijuana.
Aaron
Bobby
Rogers.
Boucher.
Aaron Rodgers, what do you think about what happened to Latroy Guyon? I don't know. I don't watch soccer.
Latroy Guyon.
No. All right, so the 190, I think, in cash, 190K in cash, probably just out to buy a new Bentley. Latroy Guyon, you are free to go.
Victory. Luckily, you found a judge who loves pot. It's great. moving on, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for everybody's favorite segment here on the Dudcast. It's time for Fact or Fudge.
Fact or Fudge.
Guys, Blake Griffin is going to miss some time here because of a staph infection, which maybe it's just me, but in 2015, that seems beyond ridiculous at the pro sports level. Right? So, I mean, if you're in a high school gym or if you're at, like, the Planet Fitness in Inglewood, and you get it. Like, I understand. Like, the odds are they're not cleaning their shit. But for a professional sports franchise? Come on.
The Planet
This has been happening, though. We saw this with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers just like last year, two years ago.
It's embarrassing.
The entire team was infected with it.
But it's embarrassing. Like, so you pay your players so much that you can't pay a professional cleaning service?
I don't know, I think maybe Blake
wasn't washing his arm sleeve because it's in his elbow, right?
Maybe he's been plowing the wrong chicks with his elbow. But I think that especially for a star like Blake Griffin, it's a very freak injury. So that got me thinking about some of the weirdest injuries to ever happen to athletes. So I'm going to ask the question, or actually Tyshawn Phillips and his million-dollar voice are going to ask the question, did this sports injury really happen? Yes, that would be a fact, or not, that would be fudge. So the example is Sammy Sosa once missed time because he tweaked his back while sneezing. That is a fact, believe it or not. Ended
fact.
Up on the disabled list.
My arm goes numb a lot when I sneeze, so I believe that.
That's a minor heart attack. Because you're supposed to say God bless you because you supposedly your heart stops beating.
Isn't there a nurse around? No, it's actually from the plague. When you would the bubonic plague, when you would sneeze, that was a sign of the plague, so people would say bless you because they thought you would die.
Bring out your
Well, then
bed.
I usually have the plague about four times a day then. That's pretty ridiculous. All right. So here we go. Aaron, you're filling in for Barry this week, which could be what is needed to unseat the champion.
Right. Very
Andy
small.
Ostrov has never lost a legitimate
game. I have tied before.
Right, but never lost a legitimate game of fact or fudge. So what's going to happen is we're going to start with Andy. He's the reigning champ.
The champ.
So Tyshawn has a list of questions. He has one opportunity to pull out. So like,
I actually told you to start calling me champ instead of Andy.
Sorry, champ. Okay. Sorry, champ. So the champ and you also have one opportunity to pull out. If you don't like the question, you can pull out and send it over to him. If he gets it right, he gets the point. If he gets it wrong, you get the point.
I'm like Antonio Cromartie. I never pull out.
Oh, I like
it. It's good.
All right, here we go, Tyshawn.
All right, yeah, Barry Murphy's shoes, very small to fill, very small. So fact or fudge. Aaron, we'll start with you.
Oh, Aaron's going to start.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I get to make these decisions.
Okay. Well, he's not, the judge. He's the weed-smoking judge.
He's not
judge.
Feeling well. Let him go.
Did this sports injury really happen or not?
Former Tigers relief pitcher Joel Zumaya once missed part of the postseason because he hurt his wrist playing Guitar Hero.
That is fact. I remember this happening, and that is absolutely fact.
That is a fact. He actually missed all of the 2006 ALCS with a wrist injury because he said he was playing too much Guitar Hero 2.
These are the stated reasons. These might not necessarily be the actual reasons, but... Hey, if you're going to come up with a creative reason.
Oh, no, wait. So, here it is. So, he got it while playing too much Guitar Hero. And then because of that, it got him a shout out in the credits of Guitar Hero 2.
That's good.
That's a pretty legit injury. All right. So, we've got Aaron 1. Great start, buddy. Yeah, Aaron 1.
He's already
zero.
Better than Murphy.
1-0.
I don't know if Murphy's ever been up 1-0.
Take a Jew over an Irishman any day.
Andy, a bold statement. Factor fudge. Did this sports injury really happen or not? Former USC backup quarterback Matt Cassell once missed several weeks because of a strained groin he suffered after slipping on a McDonald's wrapper on campus.
It's Matt Cassell, I believe, right?
Matt Cassell is how we're saying
okay, all right, but it's Matt Cassell, just so you can't say, like, I've never heard of Matt Cassell.
I'm going to say fudge.
That is correct. I came up with that one. Matt Cassell never slipped on anything.
He never even played in college.
Correct.
Yeah, that was what I was confused about. Was
like, how could really? He be injured?
They reported an injury.
How could they report an injury of a backup quarterback?
I thought it sounded legitimate. I thought that it was a legitimate, so you could see him doing
the
that.
The fix is
Maybe
in.
That's why he wasn't playing. Maybe that's why he wasn't playing. All right, hey, All the right. champ won. Aaron
there
won. Good game.
It's just in. It's Matt Cassell.
Talking to the microphone, Tyshawn. Here we go.
Okay. Fact or fudge, Aaron? Did this sports injury really happen or not? Hall of Famer Wade Boggs once missed a few games after he strained his back trying to take off his cowboy boots. Yeehaw.
Wade Boggs strained his back.
It's a Wade Boggs style.
You sure that he didn't miss it because he drank like 600 beers?
It was a great episode of It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Oh, so beers out of his boots.
But I remember reading that story a few Wade years Boggs. Ago, too.
I'm going to say... Man, I guess Wade Boggs would be a guy who wears cowboy boots. I'll go with fact on that.
That is correct.
Wow. Yeah.
That is correct. Wade Boggs.
Barry Murphy is rolling in his grave right now.
This is pretty crazy.
The Chicken Man.
It's just that he tried taking his boots off with his, let's see, in a hotel in Toronto on June 9th, 1986, Boggs tried to use his foot to pry off the cowboy boot from his other foot, only to have things go rather badly. Instead of losing his boot, he lost his balance and fell ribcage first into the arm of a couch.
Ow.
I think, from what we understand, booze was probably a part.
Beers might have been involved in this one.
That might have been the day. If
I played professional baseball, I would drink all the time, too. There's nothing else to do.
Well, apparently, you can drink a lot and be rather successful.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, Aaron Lewis. All right, two. The
Keeping
champ
the heat
won.
On.
All right, Andy.
All right.
Factor Fudge. Did this sports injury really happen or not? Former Dallas Mavericks guard Rolando Blackman once missed 3 months after his son ran over his foot with a lawnmower.
That's fudge.
That is fudge. I just came up with that. I was
with a lawnmower?
I was trying to think of freak injuries back.
Three months? He would have lost a toe and never played again.
Well, yeah. You never know. I mean, it might have, like, you know, just got jammed up and you could have sewed a toe back on. What if it was just the pinky toe?
When you're an athlete,
and I like how you went with Rolando Blackman.
When you're an athlete at that time, you don't have a kid who's old enough to push a lawnmower.
Well, or
come
you're
on,
an athlete
I'm seeing right through all this.
Or you're an athlete that has 12 kids that are that age to do it.
What was the guy's name on the Celtics who had all the kids that was he was in the cover of Sports Illustrated?
Larry Bird?
Was, no, his son was. It was like, and it said, "Are you my daddy?"
Oh,
was
I don't even
Miner?
Know.
Greg Miner? Is that who it was?
Harold
Miner?
No, not Harold Miner.
Maybe Jesus. Greg Miner.
Harold Miner was slammed.
There's more than one Miner? All right, here we go. 2-2 here in Factor Fudge.
2-2.
Hell of a game.
Moving on. Factor Fudge, Aaron. Did this sports injury really happen or not? Ken Griffey Jr. once missed a game after he pinched one of his nuts in his cup.
Pinched one of his nuts in his cup.
One of his nuts. Not both. One of his nuts.
Oh, geez. I'm going to go with, it's almost, it feels almost too real. I'm going to go with fudge.
That is incorrect. That is a fact.
Oh, wow.
Terrible instinct.
By the way, a kid
in background on that one.
That is a fact. It is here on mandatory.com. They hire nothing but the best journalists.
Yeah.
And it just said that
fudge. That's fudge, right?
No, so this is fact. So he got it wrong. He got it wrong.
No, I whatever you said, I thought I was answering.
Oh,
the whole,
they hire the best
the mandatory
about
thing.
The best journal or whatever. I thought I had to answer that. I'm sorry.
It just says Ken Griffey Jr. pinches testicle. Hey, at least it was his own. During his Reds tenure, Junior Griffey got one of his Junior Griffeys pinched by his protective cup, missing a game in the painful process.
Kid in my little league twisted his testicles for football.
Twisted testicles.
Twisted his testicles.
That like happened to my brother-in-law's brother on a bicycle one time. They had to
German hard rock band.
Oh, God. I can't even talk about this shit.
It hurts.
Twisted. Does anyone else get like a phantom pain and they're nuts talking about this? It just feels weird, man.
All right. Score's 2-2.
This could be a big moment here in Factor Fudge. We'll call this the twisted testicle portion of Factor Fudge.
Andy, back to you. Factor Fudge. Did this sports injury really happen or not? Former MLB player Terry Pendleton once landed on the 15-day disabled list because of hemorrhoids.
It's embarrassing.
It's a compelling one.
That is. Terry Pendleton.
Yeah.
Pressure's on. You know what? I'm going to pull out here.
Wow. Very rarely does the champ pull out. It's I don't even know what your record is on pullouts, but I don't think it's very good.
I don't think I did it
What
once.
Do you think, Aaron?
Think
Terry Pendleton, hemorrhoids, 15-day DL?
I'm going to risk my first slander lawsuit and say that is fact.
That is actually fudge, which
yes!
means the champ.
Wow.
The
champ
will get
the
point.
Points.
Yeah. I was just trying to look up, it's also known as an anal fissure, but no, Terry Pendleton did not miss any time. I'm sure he got him. I mean, just his body
he
build.
Plays through it. You
right.
got to play through those hemorrhoids.
He was a tough guy.
Imagine running with one of those.
Surprised you didn't see through that right there. Terry Pendleton would never miss 15 games. Because
when you're on the hot corner right there, you know.
That's
just
exactly.
Literally.
Quick quick reaction.
All right, Aaron Lewis, this is big, man. If you miss this one,
then
the champ has a shot to put you away. Here we go.
Ooh,
all right. Moving on from the hemorrhoid era. All right. Aaron, Factor Fudge, did this sports injury really happen or not? Patrick Ewing once missed 5 games because of a sprained knee that he suffered during a dance sequence on the set of Space Jam.
I'm going to have to say fudge, because there is no way that he was shooting Space Jam in the middle of the season.
I'll have to agree with his reasoning.
That reasoning is very good there. Apparently, I didn't think these things through as much. It's definitely fudge.
Look, there are like 9 NBA players in that movie.
But and he was one of them. So I figured that one of you guys would look and say, "Yeah, hey, Patrick Ewing was in Space Jam. That has to be true." Yeah, apparently not.
It was an Olympic year.
Murphy would have fallen for it.
Yeah, Murph would have.
All right, 3-all. Three all. That's big.
The game would already been over if Murph was playing.
How many? Is this the last one? How many?
No,
got?
No, no.
Oh,
no.
All right. There's Let's keep this going.
We can keep going here. Factor fudge, Andy. Did this sports injury really happen or not?
Try the microphone this time.
Factor fudge.
There you go. Perfect.
God damn it. Did this sports injury really happen or not? Colorado Rockies slugger Carlos Gonzalez, Cargo, once had to leave a game because he landed hard on the ground after swallowing his chaw.
Wait, what?
So he Carlos landed? Gonzalez one time did he have to leave the game after landing hard on the ground after swallowing his chaw, his chew, his tobacco?
Wait, okay, so let me get this straight. He dove on the ground and swallowed his tobacco. Not he swallowed his tobacco and then fell.
You tell me. Well, it just says here that because he landed hard on the ground after swallowing his chaw.
You know, cook up the story however the fuck you want. But like, answer the question.
I'm going to say Cargo actually did that. Fact.
That is a fact. It actually happened.
The champ showing his colors here.
Don't chew, recently. Kids.
Yeah.
Don't chew.
Walt Weiss said it was a mixture of a bunch of things, but it did have it definitely had something to do with him swallowing his food.
He was hanging out with Wade Boggs beforehand too.
So that's 4. So Aaron, this you need to get this one, or else you're really in deep shit.
Yeah.
All right, here we go.
All right.
All right. Stay out of deep shit. Factor fudge. Did this sports injury really happen or not? Where will we go with this?
I feel like playing
former
it blind.
Brewers pitcher Curtis Laskanik once landed on the 15-day disabled list because of testicular elephantiasis.
Why do I get the testicle ones?
New guy.
The new guy gets all the dick
jokes. It's like you know something about me. Curtis Laskanik.
You remember him?
He used to pitch alongside Chuck Krim. They made a formidable bullpen for the Brewers.
Wow.
Wow.
That's uncanny.
Curtis Laskanik and his ball elephantitis.
Unwanted knowledge.
I'm going to go with fudge on that.
That is incorrect. That is
really?
That is fact.
Had that? That's a glandular disease.
It was so. What they did is they put him on the DL with what was quote unquote a groin infection. But Drew Olsen from the Journal Sentinel went on the radio to say, and he was laughing about it, and I was laughing too because I was a younger kid at the time, and anything that had testicular in it was hysterical.
When did Drew Olsen pick up his Pulitzer Prize? That is digging for the story. Okay?
Well, he was the Brewers beat writer.
Okay.
He was the Brewers beat writer. That's,
all right. So,
it actually was a fact. So he did not get a point there. So,
so it's 4-3.
It comes down to the champ. If the champ gets this one right, it's over. If he gets it wrong, Aaron has a shot.
All right. Factor fudge, champ.
And I'm not sure if Curtis Laskanik was ever on the roster at the same time as Chuck Krim, because Chuck Krim was like late 80s, early 90s.
When was Curtis? Wasn't
like
he around
early
then?
2000s.
Oh, man.
I do like the Chuck Krim reference.
My memory is
if it comes down to a tiebreaker, we'll give him a point for the Chuck Krim reference. All right, here we go.
That's how it works.
Let's see what you got, champ. All right, factor fudge. Did this sports injury really happen or not? Former Seattle Seahawks quarterback Dave Craig once missed 2 games after his wife bruised his throwing hand during an argument over burnt lasagna.
Say fudge. That sounds like a combination of too many things I've heard of.
That is fudge, ladies and gentlemen. And your champion once again. It doesn't matter who's in that seat across from him. And it's Andy Ostroff, the factor fudge.
I was hoping for the Robert Parrish shoveling snow back injury. to come up once.
There was also the one
he shoveled his own driveway while he started out the Celtics.
I was surprised you didn't bring up Clint Barmes.
Yeah,
he fell down the stairs while he was carrying a hunk of caribou meat down the stairs.
That's better.
That
than
was a good one.
I'm surprised T-Shaw didn't give you this one. Let's see if you what you would have said here. Former Tigers pitcher Billy Chappell once missed the majority of the 1996 season after slicing his right hand with a table saw.
Oh, that's from the movie with Kevin Costner. Yeah. Where I've told you about the end of that movie, right?
Correct. Yeah.
With the end of that movie, so they're like making out, and some extra walks by, fist pumps, looking at Kevin Kelly Preston and Kevin Costner making out of their knees. He's just
that
like,
made the final cut.
Dude, it's there. I saw it. I rewound it on TV like 100 times. I couldn't believe it.
It's a great story. That's probably – we've done like maybe 13 or 14 podcasts. Fourth time we've heard it on the podcast. It's great. But it's a great story. It's always a great way to bring it to a close, guys. It's been another great podcast.
Aaron was new, so I had to say it.
It's been another great podcast here for the Daily Upper Decker. Check us out online, dailyupperdecker.com. Find us on Twitter, at Daily Upper Deck, on Facebook. We even have a Vine. I think we're going to try getting an Instagram, but the best place to go is dailyupperdecker.com.
The Daily Upper Decker, nothing but sports and crap.